Okay, yesterday we finished the mashal, the analogy that Yosam gave to the people of Shechem. We explained all the interpretations of what the three different fruits were all about. Just a couple more small points before we move on. So again, we're in Perek Tes, and let's just take a look again at the ninth chapter. And in Pasuk Tes, you see all the fruits when they respond, when they went to the he says, the Zayah says, "V'halachti lonua al ha'etzim." Have I run out of my delectable fruit that I should go lonua al ha'etzim? What does lonua literally mean? To move the people. So the purpose of a king is to move the people. So by all three trees, you look, it says, and all those, have I lost my fruit that I should go and move the trees? But look what it says by the otod, by the thorn bush. By the thorn bush, it doesn't say anything about what he has to do. It just says, if you guys really want to anoint me as the king, then you come and stay under my shelter. It doesn't make any reference to him moving the people. He expects everyone to move to him. Very interesting. One other point in the Radak in Pasuk Yud Gimel, when he talks about the grape, and he says, have I stopped giving off my wine that gives joy to God and to man, that I should go and move the trees? So, it's interesting. If you look in the Chumash, it's very interesting. It says, "Hamisameach Elokim," that wine makes Hashem happy. So what kind of a anthropomorphic term is that? To make Hashem happy? So, Targum Yonason deals with that. And he takes this away from referring to Hashem. So what does the Targum Yonason say? And he does this consistently throughout the Navi. It says, he says in the Targum, instead of the word Elohim, Uve Chodon Rav Revayo, that noble causes noblemen to rejoice. As he will not allow the word Elohim to be interpreted as Hashem. And we see that in other places in the Navi, in Torah too. For example, it says, if you have a case, you take it to the court. It says you bring it to Elohim. And over there, Elohim does not mean God. In the simple terms, it means you take it to the judges. In other words, you have the word Elohim, which is a reference to God, because really it means God has power. Can also be borrowed as a term to refer to noblemen, judges, people who have that kind of power on loan from God to do God's work. So therefore, you'll see consistently that Targum Yonason will always, whenever you get to these terminologies where Hashem, it seems that we're giving emotion to Hashem, so we will change that shot and we'll call them, you know, great people. Many times it says that, it says by the chet, Eitzadas, Hashem says, oh, I see he's become Elohim. He's become God. No, it becomes you're a great person. So that's the first thing. And that's where Radak goes out of his way to say that Targum Yonason distances, you know, referring Hashem to having joy, as it were, just like any other terminologies, because there is no such thing that God has feelings. Feelings is something that comes from an external force impacting upon you and is causing you, is controlling you. Your feelings control you to great cause. Someone makes you have joy. So you can't use these terminologies for God. God is perfect being. Perfect being doesn't change. One day I'm happy, one day I'm not happy. There's no such thing with God. He's a constant. So you can't use emotions, although he created the source for those emotions. He can create the source for those emotions that other people can be subject to emotions that exist. He created the world that people can be subject to emotions, but he cannot be subject to emotions. And that's a very important point that the Radak is spelling out over here. It's also interesting. He says, from here the rabbis say that people, you say Shira over wine, because he's saying that it brings joy. It brings joy to God. So you see, the Gemara seems to, on the one hand, keep the pshat that it refers to Hashem. Although the simple pshat, it cannot be that. Now, it's interesting, the Radak adds one more point. Where does he have that? And the fact that we do sometimes use these terminologies for God, so then we fall back to the standard line, the Dibra Torah Kaloshim B'nei Adam, that God, the Torah speaks in human terms so human beings can get some understanding over there. Okay. But it's not to be understood literally. So we always distance, and again, the Targum always distances from saying that. However, in one case, the Targum will not do this. Whenever it talks about God's anger, he doesn't give an interpretation taking that away from God. Vayichar af Hashem, or similar things like that, he sticks with it. So Radak says, and that is a mystical secret to go, guys who know mysticism will understand that. Okay, so go try to figure it out. So there are those who suggest that that the answer is because when Hashem is angry, as it were, it means he's operating with the Midas Hadin, with the attribute of justice. The attribute of justice is total truth. It's the total truth of Hashem. So when Hashem is using the Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, so it's the emes of Hashem is there. As opposed to other Midos, it's not. When Hashem uses Rachamim, it's not the total emes. It's not the total truth. But by Yichar Af Hashem, when Hashem gets angry, that means that the attribute of justice is coming. So that's why he applies it to Hashem. Okay, it's a shot I heard. I don't know if that's necessarily correct. But it's a difficult thing. But you see, by anger, that is definitely reserved to Hashem. Now he says one last thing. The Radak. So he over here is not referring to Hashem. It's referring to important people wanting to teach us that wine gives joy to great people and wise people. It is good for them, as we already mentioned to you by next week's parsha. When Yosef sends old fine wine to Yaakov. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. Chamra v'rechoni pikrin. So wine is good, makes people smart. But people who are lowlifes, not on a higher level, the drunkenness is not good for them and will confuse their minds and things like that. So therefore, there is benefits to wine, and therefore the vine has what to boast about, the benefits that are there. And he feels he has what to offer. Okay, let's now go to the Nimshal. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Is there a difference between the Atav and the Sneh? Is that a different kind of bush or?
I don't know. That's a good question. Is it a Atav and a Sneh?
Isn't that just a bush?
I think it was a thorn bush too. I'd have to. It's been a while since I've looked at that pasuk, so I'd have to go. Yeah, I know. Soon, it's 3 weeks. So I don't know, but I'd have to look that up. I'd have to look and see. I mean, atad definitely here means totally worthless. It has no benefits at all. Maybe this is just a book. I don't know. I'd have to look. Okay. So now Yosam comes back. And after giving the analogy, he says what the analogy really means. Now, is there anything else we need to add over here? Okay. So go to Malcolm over here. So now to understand this next couple of psukim, it's just difficult. It's simple. There's a lot of words. So we got to fit it all in over here. So Yosam is obviously, he's about to curse Avimelech, because obviously you see where the direction of the analogy of the parable has gone. So there's Va'ata, and now he's going to say three things. In other words, you may have, only introduce how he's going to say this. You may have one of three valid reasons for doing what you have done, but I don't think any of those three are really true. And therefore, since those three are not true, then there's only one reason, because you're a lousy guy, and therefore I heap all kinds of curses upon you. That's what the next four psukim are going to say. We just have to navigate them and see how they fit in. We'll go based on the Malbim's interpretation. But first I'll just read them.
Okay. Where did Yosam appear from? Where did he come from?
He was the one surviving son who didn't get killed.
Oh, that's the one. That's the surviving
one. One out of the 70 who didn't get killed. And he went up. Now he wants to curse this guy out. You know, why it was one, and you know, I don't know why it was that one. But obviously he took full advantage of surviving and to curse out Avimelech. And we will see that the curse comes true. 100% the curse comes true. If you went in truth and in wholesomeness, and you did what you did, and you coronated Avimelech. Okay, that's point number one. Vim tova sisem im rubal vim beiso, and if you have done good with Yerubal, Gidon and his family, that's number two. Vim kumul yodov asisem lo, and if you've done according to the proper repayment for him, okay, which are all not true, which are all not true. And then he's going to go back and explain how these things could be possible. Okay, so let's instead of going for, let's just do the Malbim right away to see what's going on over here. But so he says, so obviously, so you, they've come to the thorn bush, right? The Malbim explains like this. He says, when Gidon died, so if there were many people amongst the wise people who were trying to get the better people to become the leaders, right? And that's what's going on. So the rich people are trying to find rich people to be leaders. The wise men are trying to find tzaddikim, etc. But nobody wanted to do it. So now what happened? So obviously after he died, now it's very interesting. You know, usually what happened was a shofet died, and then somehow the non-Jews came and gave us trouble. So here it's very interesting that didn't happen. It didn't happen. It seems things were pretty quiet. You don't hear any problems with the non-Jews. I mean, they're going to come back later. But it seems that the Jews made their own problems, their own political problems. After the shofet died, so we got to find a new shofet. So I guess they were looking to find proper shofet, and they couldn't find, or the proper people didn't want. So now, so the lower lives, they're looking for them. So they went to the thorn bush, where there's nothing good at all about him, just that he has pins and needles to destroy. So again, also I think that's an important thing. If indeed that's what happened, so you can see that tzaddikim really people who could be leaders should be leaders, even though they're going to give up on being able to. So what do you mean? Have I finished producing wine? Have I finished doing this? Maybe you haven't. And maybe you are going to have to sacrifice that you don't get to produce any more wine. But if you don't step up to plate to be a leader, look who's going to step up instead. So I think that's another important lesson. That, you know, as much as it may not be to the benefit of the leader to do that, and he will lose out. And maybe the Jewish people in a certain way will lose out. They will lose out from his extra scholarship in the world. But you need to have a leader. And if you don't have a proper leader, someone will always want to be the leader who is not worthy of being the leader. And that's exactly what happened. So you've got to, it could be when there was refusals, the noblemen who were looking for good leaders, they shouldn't have accepted those refusals. They should have said, well, listen, somebody has to lead us and we think you're the best one to lead, so please do it. Everyone say, no, not me, not me, not me. But at the end of the day, no one becomes the leader, so they're, leadership void will be filled by an inappropriate leader. I think that's also another important message. Anyway, coming back to what he's saying now. So he's saying three condition, three things. So let's go back. He says, so the Malm explains the first one. If you did what was good and proper in your eyes to coronate Avimelech, meaning to say, if the choice you made was really because you really want to be under his shade and you really want to seek perfection because you feel Avimelech is a great leader, if that's what you think, although of course that obviously is not true, but if that, so that's possibility number one, which is ridiculous, but he's saying it like in a rhetorical way. Number two, or maybe what you did was, you maybe did a goodness to Gideon and his family because you owed him some goodness because he sacrificed himself. So maybe you coronated Avimelech because you wanted to show kindness to Gideon for his efforts for you. Maybe that's why you did what you did. That's sarcasm, completely. Which we know that's not true. And number three, and besides the fact that you have to thank him because he tried to save you, but the truth is he did a good for you because he did save you, so now you want to repay the goodness for Gideon. That's the second level. In other words, the level before that was he made efforts for you, so you want to do good for him because he tried to do good. But also he succeeded. And he really was successful in helping you. So maybe you wanted to repay him for that. All these, which I doubt, are true. So then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he elaborates on perhaps why you feel Gideon was so good to you, and that's why you're repaying him with so much good. So in Yud Zayin, he begins to explain the two ways of how you could have seen that Gideon was good for you, and therefore you want to pay him back. So again, in Tesayin, the first possibility is Im Be'emes Ubesamim, that's the beginning. The second one is Vim Tova Sisim, and the third is Vim Kigmul Yadav. Now he goes back to the second one, that he did a good, which is what? Yud Zayin. Asher Nilcham Ovi Avi Aleichem, because my father fought for you, Vayashlech Esnav Shom Mineget, and he cast his soul before. In other words, he was willing to risk his life. So maybe that's that good that he did for you, that you were paying him back by killing his children. Right. And also, he was successful. He saved you from the hands of Midian. So now you want to reward him for his success by killing his children, if that's what you had in mind. Which I highly doubt. You want to know why I highly doubt that? Because look at Pasuk Yud Ches. You came upon my father's house today. You killed his son, 70 men on one stone. And you coronated Avimelech, the son of Amoso now, a handmaiden, not a Pilagesh, a handmaiden. Al Baal Hashem over the masters of Shem, because he's your brother. Right? So obviously you weren't doing any good repayment. And you coronate him not because of any good, but because he's your brother, because you knew you were going to get some benefits out of this. Right? You test. So what's the only last possibility? So the last two are out. So I'm going to go back to the first. And if you did with truth and wholesomeness with the house of Yerubal and his household, with him and his household today, in other words, if you really did this with wholesomeness, and you think Avimelech is an amazing guy, and you really think this is an amazing thing you did by killing his sons, and he has no merits, but you still think this guy's a great king, so simcha b'Avimelech, have a lot of joy with Avimelech, and let him have joy from you. If you really think this is for your good, let's see the good that's going to happen. But I don't think that any of that is true. After all his sarcasm. But Pasuk Chaf is probably more likely. Be mindful that it's not true. If you didn't do it for good reasons, then I give you the following curse. And this is the way it really is. Okay? That really you shouldn't have killed my father. And you shouldn't have tried to inherit the honor that was not yours. So what will happen is, Teitze Eish Mavimelech, a fire will come from Avimelech, V'tochel Es Baal Eishchem Ves Beis Milo, and will consume the people of Avimelech, of Shechem, and also Beis Milo. It seems Beis Milo was a suburb of Shechem, And also, v'teitze eish mibal Hashem, and a fire will come from the people of Shechem, umibes milon, from base milon, v'tochas avimelech, and will consume avimelech. In other words, will destroy each other.
Or a fire for, okay, a fire from avimelech, okay.
Well, he's the thorn bush. All he can do is make fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we'll see that's exactly what he does. In other words, you're meant for each other. You're meant for each other. He's wicked to have the idea. You're wicked to fulfill the idea. So you'll go at each other. You'll both destroy each other. This is the curse that I give you. Now he couldn't stick around very long because I'm sure they were not happy hearing all this. So Pasuk Chafalef, Yonas Yosem ran away. Vayivrach, he fled. Vayivrach, and he ran away. Vayelech Be'erah. And he went to a place called Be'er because he could not go back home because they would have gone after him at home. So he went into hiding somewhere. And then he lived there in order to avoid his brother who probably wanted to kill him. Okay. That is the end of his speech, the end of his curse. So now we see what happens. Pasuk Chaf. Vayosar Avimelech al Yisrael Sholosh Shonim. So now Avimelech rules for 3 years. Interesting word, it doesn't say Vayishpot, he was a shofet. But rather by Yosar. He ruled. He ruled over them. And the Malbim picks up on that. And he says, he ruled meaning with a strong hand. Okay, meaning he forced his rule upon people. He wasn't exactly beloved by everybody. It's also interesting, all of a sudden it says, Al Yisrael, over the Jewish people. Seems not only over Shechem, but seems he had some influence over the rest of the Jewish people. So, doesn't look like the curse is coming true. Doesn't, looks like cheaters prosper. You know, it's like, he goes and kills his father's children. He gets a curse. Big deal. Who cares about his curse? He got a curse of how to run into hiding. And now he has a rule of tyranny for 3 years. So that doesn't seem to be very right. So, but of course, no one knows the ways of Hashem's divine providence, right? So, but the obvious question is, so how could Hashem give Avimelech a kingdom for 3 years? He's a lowlife. He's a scumbag. So what's going on over here?
In the case of Dvorah.
So again, on the simple level, you could always say, Hashem always gives people a chance to do tshuva. And okay, now you're the leader. You have time to think about it. See what happens. Guess nothing happened. That's A. B, we already mentioned, but I'll mention again, the Medrash Tanchuma that says something very fascinating. It says, before the honor comes humility. It's a pasuk in Mishle. That's a reference to Gidom. That when the people said to him, you rule over us, and you and your children and your grandchildren. What was his response? He says, I will not rule. My children will not rule. But he didn't say my grandchildren won't rule. He says, Hashem will rule over you. So they said three things, and you said three things. So Hashem said, when he said, if you're talking that way, which is very nice, because you're really sanctifying my name. You want them to know that Hashem should be their leader. So I swear I will bring forth from you a son who will rule for 3 years. Measure for measure for the three nice things you said. That you won't rule, your children won't rule, and God will rule. So that's what it means. So it says, Oy lifnei kovid anova. Before the honor comes the humility. And therefore, Vayosar Avimelech Yisrael Shalashonim. Avimelech rules for 3 years. It's very difficult, Medrash, to understand such a loathsome, disgusting rulership. This is the reward for Gidon. Is this an honor for Gidon? Let's go down in history. Look, Gidon, you got rewarded with such a son, a no goodnik, cutthroat, etc., etc. So what's going on over here? So the answer is, and this explains a few things. One of the questions we always ask is, why did the wicked prosper? Why did the wicked prosper? So one of the answers that is given, Lutzado gives in Derech Hashem, is that sometimes it's a benefit that they get from their ancestors. Their ancestors have done something good, and it's something good that has to be rewarded. So it has to be rewarded, So although they are not totally deserving at all, but this the father or the grandfather did something that was amazing. Since something was amazing, there has to be some kind of reward for that. And, you know, and the reward will be, you know, a lot depending on what you left, you know, what is available to the person to benefit from based on who he is. In other words, it's a decree is made. Hashem said, you did a Kiddush Hashem. You deserve something for this. And you deserve a child who's going to rule for 3 years. Right? So now, that's a good flow, a good blessing. Now, what you do with the blessings, that already is man's business. The fact that you have an opportunity to be the leader for 3 years, that's an amazing gift. What you do with the gift is another thing. So, and that's what it means. There has to be some kind of reward. Because, he did a proper thing. It's interesting, you're finding more Rosh Hashanah, another interesting thing. It says the eyes of Hashem are always over the land of Eretz Yisrael, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. The Gemara says, what does that mean? It says, well, for example, let's say there are great tzaddikim on Rosh Hashanah, and it was determined there should be abundant rainfall. Let's say the people were good. So Hashem decides they deserve a lot of rainfall. Then during the year, the people become bad. So wait a minute. God decreed a lot of rainfall. And now, you know, in year two, you know, after the budget was given, they're going to get a lot of rain. All of a sudden, they decide to be bad this year. So what's going to happen? God's going to give them rain for last year's goodness, although this year they're being wicked? That doesn't make sense. So the answer is, well, too bad. The decree was made. He has to give them a lot of rain. So what does God do? He brings them rain at the time where rain won't be beneficial. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, you want to have rain in October, November, December, January. That's when you want the rain. So whatever, God decrees a place, I don't know how many millimeters of rain should come this year, which is a nice amount. So they're waiting for it to come October, November, December, January. Nothing. So it's not going to get much growth. But when do you not want it to rain? You don't want it raining April, May, June, because that's harvest time. So Hashem will bring all the rain to come April, May, June. In other words, I promise you all these benefits, but you don't deserve them anymore, but I can't go back on my word. So the benefits will turn into a curse. So you gotta be careful. So in other words, there are certain rules of the game. You do something good, it automatically means something good has to come out of that. Has to come out of that. But what it really means is the potential for good comes out of that. And that is way more than a lot of other people get. A lot of people don't even get the potential. So all that amazing potential is there. And look, you see, he was a king for 3 years. He could have done a lot of good things in those 3 years. But instead, he went and caused destruction. So don't blame God for the way things turn out. You know, you do something, you deserve to get a benefit. You're given the benefit, but you don't use it wisely, then it'll be turned against you. So that's what you have over there.
Does Hashem not know that he's going to be the king, Abimelech? Why did he make Yosem the king, or one of the 69 brothers? Why this guy?
Why this guy? I guess a lot of it had to do with the way Avimelech, the way Gidon parented his children. I mean, obviously there's something not 100% in order over here.
Obviously.
The guy, Gidon, on the one hand was a courageous leader, did a lot to help the Jewish people. And then they said, okay, why don't you rule over us? So again, it's hard to understand. He says, I'm not going to rule over you. All right, but at least be a shofet. At least be a shofet. At least be a judge. Don't be a ruler. Be a judge. It seems he went, you know, Hashem, it seems to me, there's not a lot of commentary here. Hashem thrust him in a position. You are a leader. I've thrust leadership upon you. And the people were so appreciative. They said, let's make you the king. He says, no, I don't want to be a king. Hashem is your king. Okay, so why didn't you just become a regular shofet? Like everyone else, just be a regular shofet. And as we see at the end of Perikes, he didn't even do that. He didn't even do that. It says he went, he, again, remember, Vayelech Rubal ben Yosh, I'm going back, Vayesha Baveso, he went to live in his house.
Quit.
Remember we said that the deadly word, Vayeshev, to live. I don't want to have any headaches. Right? This last week's parsha, Vayeshev Yaakov. Hashem says no. So then, so what? And Hashem let it. See, here it's different. By Yaakov, Hashem didn't let him. Right away, he gave him troubles. Here, okay, get on. That's what you want. I'll give it to you. Here, go have go be with your wives all day long. And it was mutter. Nothing usher about it. He didn't do an avera. But if you have 70 kids, I mean, you have definitely have more than one wife. You know, obviously had a lot of wives. So he was really into that kind of lifestyle. Again, it's not prohibited. He didn't do anything sinful. So they all went to the mikvah. And a man was allowed to have more than one wife at that time. He didn't do anything sinful. A holy man he must not have been. A holy man he certainly wasn't. He was a man who enjoyed the pleasures of life. And he maximized on the pleasures of life. Well, I guess a person who Hashem puts him in a position of, you know, Hashem has blessed you. Hashem says, you, I feel, should be a leader. And you have that ability to be a leader and to grow in that leadership. And you just drop back and say, no, I'm just happy to go to my farm in Crawford, Texas and, you know, enjoy the rest of my life and with that aura of power. But I really don't do anything with it. So, you know, like we said, there's an aspect, and I think he sowed the seeds for the own destruction of his family. Because we know there's a concept in Judaism called precious. Precious means abstinence. The Torah, God says you can enjoy his world, but it should be in a limited way. Just because you can, everything's allowed, doesn't mean you grab it all. And therefore, that's the idea of kadoshim to you, being a holy people, prushim to you. You separate yourself from all the pleasures in the world. Hashem gives you a lot of pleasure. Doesn't mean you have to have all of it. Because if you have all of it, then you get accustomed, as we learned in the Da'as Atzmacha class, you get accustomed to wanting a lot of things. What's wrong with eating 5 steaks at dinner? I made a bracha on it. I paid for it. I didn't steal it. What's wrong? What's wrong is you're training yourself to be a glutton. And when you train yourself to be a glutton, one day there'll be something that you're not supposed to have that you're going to want. So you can imagine, you know, growing up in such a family. Just try to think in your mind, you're one of 70 kids. Right? I don't know how much attention he gave all 70 of them. Right? But one thing they knew, Dad was awfully busy pursuing his own physical pleasures. That's one thing for sure. That was, you know, as we talk about legacy. What was his legacy? He left 70 kids. Okay, you know, obviously he was very much into physical pleasures. And he didn't do anything to help the Jewish people for the balance of his life for 40 years. Imagine 40 years living with physical pleasures and life was good. But, and meanwhile, don't forget, people are slowly slipping back into idolatry. He's not doing anything to pick up the religiosity of the people. So, okay, you know, Gidon, when you made those comments 40 years ago, it was a wonderful thing you said. It was a wonderful thing you said. And Hashem says, oh, that holds so much promise. And with what you did good, you got to get rewarded. And you have to be rewarded measure for measure. As we talked about yesterday morning, measure for measure. You said 3 wonderful comments about leadership. You should have a child who should lead for 3 years. Now, if he would have continued to be a proper person for the next 40 years, then things would have played out in a very nice way. And he would have had a son. Now it's interesting, none of the other Shoftim had a child that took over them. None of them. And who knows if not maybe from that humility, maybe, you know, maybe some kind of dynasty could have started. But to have a child take over you is really a wonderful thing. That's what parents like to see. You don't see Asnil ben Kenaz has a son who takes over. You don't see Ehud. You don't see Advora. Nobody takes over for the parents to be leaders. So Hashem says, you deserve for what you said, you deserve that your child should take over. But then look what happened. You just fell apart. And not only that, but when you have to make your annual visit to the tribe of Ephraim, because that's the seat of leadership, you have to make sure you've got a concubine there too. So if I guess for the week or two you're there, you should be able to be satisfied. You know, so you have a kosher trip to Las Vegas, quote unquote. You leave your 6 wives at home. So chas v'shalom, you should go to a prostitute. You get a concubine, right? So I mean, even there you need somebody. So and you can imagine, Avimelech grows up over there and he doesn't see his father at all. Right, for I don't know how old he was, but for many, many years. So who raises him? You know, Mrs. Conk, you know, raises him. You know, and we'll see in a minute, she could not have been the most religious mother in the world. Because usually someone's a Pelegesh, I mean, she's quite beautiful, and she probably had used her services for other people in the past. So, I mean, that's his mother. So, I mean, like, you know, like, where's your brains? You're siring, you're a horse? You're siring another heir, you know, out in Ephraim just to cover your bases. So he didn't know. What kind of guidance did Abimelech have? So Gideon kind of was sowing the seeds for his own destruction to his legacy. So, I mean, when God puts you in a position where really you could have made a big difference, people respect, he could have probably wiped out the Baal totally in his 40 years. Totally. Any thoughts of it, just like Dvorah did. But he didn't. He just like rode the wave of popular opinion. They liked him. It was quiet. Life is good. Remember, now we can go back to our fields and we can harvest. We're not afraid of the Midianites. Life is wonderful. And okay, he's got his belt over there. So okay, we'll serve it the way he thinks, but we're going to do our own thing. And he wasn't too, you know, wasn't over much. Wasn't watching much. So okay, so the blessing turns into a curse. That's all. So, you know, it's a lost opportunity. Again, quite a tragic figure. So that's what happens. But the point is, if you did something good, it's got to be delivered. And if you're not going to live up to that, then the good could really be a very big curse. No different than if, you know, Avimelech would have inherited a lot of money. And all that money will cause his destruction. And that happens too. You have a tzaddik, a person's righteous, he deserves rewards. Some in this world, he gets a child, he gets a lot of rewards, but rewards destroy him. And that's happened to Avimelech. So really, Gideon didn't do much to perpetuate things, and therefore he doesn't get anything. And we don't know what happened with Yosem. It's just an enigma. But that's what we see. This is one of the worst periods in the Shoftim. One of the worst periods in the Shoftim.
Worse than Yiftach?
We'll see. We'll get to Yiftach. Yeah, but so far, it's been the worst. Without question, it's been the worst. And it's not that the enemy, and what's worse is the enemies weren't our problem. We were our own problem. We were our own problem.
It becomes apparent from this particular passage that we're going through that after Gideon, Hashem no longer has a hand in doing anything. Like he just, okay, boys, you did what you did. Now enjoy your own fruits of your own.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen now. What's going to happen is so now Avimelech does something terrible. So what do we need? A lightning bolt from heaven to knock out Avimelech? So that's not the way I work. You will see. Just wait. You know, what you do, there's consequences. And what comes around goes around. Hashem says, you know, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to let things. And I will, you know, a little here, a little there, just little touches. And I'll make sure that you destroy yourself. And that's also another lesson in Hashkacha. What's interesting, which is so unusual, we're going to now go about 35 psukim, which is a lot, for a very vivid description of the tremendous destruction that happened now, which is unbelievable. You know, till now, you know, whenever we talk, and the Midianites enslaved the Jews for 18 years. So it's one pasuk. One pasuk of trouble, that's all. I mean, look at all the pasukim. How much bad, in terms of pasukim, verses? How much coverage, how much ink has been spilled to discuss all the troubles in Jews? Very little. It says, this king came along, and they oppressed the Jews. Okay, one pasuk, two pasukim, finished. Made a lot of coverage for what the Jews did to win, and to succeed, and to learn about God. But now we're going to have about 35 sukkim. We could have ended it with one more pasuk. And the curse of Yosem came true, and they destroyed themselves. Finished. We don't need to know all the sordid details. But the Torah goes into great depth. Now, great analysis to go through. He did this, and he did that, and he did that, all the thing, to show you that, you know, you make a bad decision, you're going to see God will orchestrate events. It will look very normal. Normal political events are just happening at cloak and dagger. We're going to see a little here. God just puts a little thing here and a little thing there. And all of a sudden, all the destruction and exactly what Yosem said comes true to the letter. So this is a big lesson for us to see that when people do not act properly, Hashem gives you the rope to hang on. The exact size of a noose to hang on, and just makes a few little interventions, little drop here, a little drop there, just enough to make you fall right into the hole that you're supposed to go into. And that's why at the end of all those psukim, the Navi says, and this is what Hashem wanted to happen.
Also the next
so don't be confused. And right away, you see, in Pasuk of Gimel, all of a sudden it says, Vayishlach Elohim Ruach Ro, Bein Avimelech Ubein Balei Shechem. Hashem sent an evil spirit between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. In other words, you know, just caused a, you know, he dropped in the polls. His popularity dropped in the polls. And what is that based on? Hashem just puts it in people's minds. Oh, he's not such a good president anymore. They're not such a good people anymore. Where did that come from? It comes from Hashem. Hashem puts in our minds, he's not such a good leader after all. Where did that come from? What precipitated it? Nothing. It loses popularity. I'm explaining these things. I explain, Obama is flying up in the polls and now goes down in the polls. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? What did he do to deserve to ever be up in the polls? I don't know. Hashem wanted it. Hashem wanted a black man should be the president. That's what Hashem wanted. So he puts in people's minds that he should be the president. And then it's going to cause him to get aggravation. Now they don't want him to be president. He won't be president. So that's all. And then Avimelech doesn't like what they're doing. So Hashem is setting the stage for total destruction. Okay, I'll send you an email when we're going to continue. We're not learning tomorrow and Friday. Then I got to figure what I'm doing for the next 2 weeks. So just keep your eyes posted and by the bulletin tomorrow. I have to decide. I have to do a lot of things over here. I have many hats to keep.